Well, good morning, Redeemer. See, I started a little bit early this week because the last 2 weeks I've started late. So I figured if I started early, we could like, what is that when you move the time? Bank the time? It's a reverse of banking the time, I guess. No, you will not, sir. Nice try. What time do the Cowboys play today? Does anybody know? 12? Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Just telling you, sorry. But we are going to have a wonderful time here this morning. Just a couple of things that I would like to... Oh, if you are a visitor with us here this morning, welcome. My name is Pastor Forrest, and I would love the opportunity to meet you after the service. I'll be up front here, and I'd love the opportunity to visit with you and find out a little more about you. There are some incredibly exciting... God is doing some amazing things here at Redeemer. Amazing things. We have, right now, the women's ministry is meeting every week for Bible study. It's going awesome. I don't sit through the Bible study, but I hear about it after the fact. So just so you know, it's going awesome. We have a men's breakfast coming up in a couple of weeks. Details are in the bulletin, and we'd love to have you for that. We have a guest speaker coming in. It's going to be just a wonderful, wonderful morning. Food will be good. The presentation will be good. It'll be a good time together. We are working on our directory, and Ricky and I celebrated. We are over 101 people entered into the directory. So where is Ricky at? I don't see him. But yeah, so we celebrate. We're like, yes, this is great. That was like a big milestone for us. Now we're shooting for 150. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, so it's been fun. We're getting things in. We've got a little ways to go. We have a lot of information in there, but we still have to check it and get it situated. So we're a little ways to go before we're actually ready to go. But we are making progress on the directory. And even more exciting than all of that put together and doubled is we are in the midst of our celebratory worship encounter. And if you are new or if you haven't been here in a while, here's what's going on. We are testing out 4 different worship styles. And how we're doing that is we are having guest worship leaders come in, and we are running a worship service based upon the different 4 different styles. So we're doing traditional this morning. We've done the 2 blended services the 2 past weeks. Next week will be contemporary. And so what we're doing, the idea behind this, or the reason we're doing this, is because we wanted to see what would this worship style look like in our building with our people and our sanctuary and with our equipment, so we could get a feel for what it felt like. So it wasn't kind of an ethereal decision. It was something that you could really say, okay, this is what it would be like. So we've been doing that, and what we're going to do then on November 2nd is we are going to have a family meeting. And in that family meeting, we're going to have dinner together. We're going to all have a bunch of fun together. We're just going to talk, and we're going to have a good time. Then we're going to come into the sanctuary, and I am going to pose a question. And the question that I'm going to pose is this. Which of the 4 styles that we've experienced or we've encountered here, which of those 4 styles will be the best for us to reach this community with the good news? That's the question. I'll explain the question a little bit more at that time. But that's going to be the question. Everybody's going to have an opportunity to talk, discuss, and then we're going to vote. And out of that vote, then we are going to come up with a consensus. We are going to come up with a consensus, one way or another. I'll figure it out. We're going to come up with a consensus of what we feel is the best moving forward. And then the next month later, December 7th, we are going to have a family Christmas party. And that Christmas party has 2 purposes. The first purpose is that we are going to meet and celebrate Christmas as a family, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got some great things planned, but then we're also going to celebrate the decision that we made the month before. So we're going to get together, and we're going to all be on the same page, and we're going to be excited about what God is doing and the direction that God has for us to go. So tons of great stuff here. It's happening. This is a great time to be involved at Redeemer, and we're certainly glad that each of you are here. This morning, we are going to be led in worship by a guy named Sam. I know Sam pretty well. We've been getting to be friends probably in the last year or so. We've been coming friends. He still doesn't mind being seen with me in public, which I don't understand that, but he still doesn't mind. So Sam is going to lead us in worship today. We are doing the traditional worship service this morning. I think you're going to enjoy our morning together.
All right, well, stand together And I want to read to you from Psalm 98. It says this. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song." So we may not be singing new songs all the time, but it is a new day, and the Lord's mercies are new every morning. And that's the glorious thing about just starting a new day. It's so fresh. We have the rest of our lives to look forward to with the Lord. "For he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord." He is the King. I love this song. Praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, the Lord has made known his salvation in the sight of all the nations. So let's sing this together. Praise him ever in joyful song. Here we go. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. On the second verse, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Can we take it up a key? Here we go. Here we go. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Sing it out. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Good singing. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, let's just sing this to him. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds swing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come, when Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Standing for the reading of God's word. Psalm 19, 7 through 14. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Together. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take. rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I fruit Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. How sweet, oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I fruit Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and health and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I fruit Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Aren't we glad we know to trust in Jesus? He's going to lead us in the way everlasting. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that You are with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I fruit Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Let's just leave that slide up there and sing that chorus one more time.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I fruit Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Father, we desire this morning to trust You even more than we did yesterday. Father, we hold on to You, and we look forward to what You will say to us this morning through Pastor Forrest. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. Well, good morning. I am one of the smartest people that you know. You may not know this, but I'm telling you about how smart I am. Just wait. It gets better. So I live on campus at Dallas Theological Seminary. We live in campus housing. It's an apartment. It's very nice. And they just built a new chapel. And in front of the new chapel are these outdoor fire pits. I told you already that I'm super smart, right? Okay, good. They have these outdoor fire pits. And the fire pits are about this high. I'm going to use the altar here to show you here. They're about this high, and they're modern ones. They have the gas element that goes through it, and it pops up, and there's a glass, those little glass chunks that are in there. It's pretty cool. So last fall, I was taking a break from studying in the apartment, and I was going to read, and I was like, I'm going down to the fire pit because it's cold outside. This is going to be great. So I went down to the pit, had my book, and I get out there, and click, 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 click. Doggone it. I made this trip all the way down here, and this thing is not starting. So I turn it off, turn it back on again, and I could hear the gas was flowing. And I could hear the click, click, click. That was the igniter trying to light it. And in my brilliance, I'm thinking, I know what the problem is. These little glass pieces, they're just too tight. So I have a solution. What I'm going to do is I'm going to shuffle them up a little bit. So I'm just going to use my hand and just go right across the... Yeah, that was a really bad idea. Yeah, blood everywhere. You know, it was just terrible. The blood burned off, so I'm sure it's fine now. But it was awful. I am foolish. I'm foolish. You know, humans are innately foolish. No, Pastor Forrest, you're just the foolish one. Okay, I got an idea. We could do this. We don't have time, but we could. We could start over here, and we could go to each one of us. And each of us could tell our foolish stories, and I bet you I know what would happen. Most of you would have a foolish story to tell. And I've got plenty more. Don't worry, you'll hear more. But I've got plenty more. But most people have foolish stories. They have stories about things that they've done that are foolish because humans are innately foolish. So when we come to a book like Proverbs, it makes perfect sense to us. We're like, of course God would write a book called Proverbs and give it to us. Of course he would, because look how foolish we are. But I want to ask a question this morning. Is that what Proverbs was designed to do? Did God write Proverbs for us foolish people so that we would be wise? Or was there something else he was trying to do? And so that's what I want to answer the question for you this morning, and we're going to find out what is Proverbs designed to do? And this morning we are going to be in the book of Proverbs. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of Proverbs. Now if you're using a physical Bible, Proverbs is pretty easy to find because you open up your Bible in the middle and you're pretty much going to land in the book of Psalms. A little bit to the right is Proverbs. So it's pretty easy to find. The book of Proverbs. And we're going to start a little mini-series here on the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to start at the very beginning, chapter 1, and we're going to talk about what did God say was the reason why he gave us the Proverbs. What is the purpose? What was his reason? What is Proverbs designed to do? Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And so we're posing this question upon the text, what is Proverbs designed to do? And the first thing that we're going to see is that Proverbs provokes us purposefully. Proverbs provokes us purposefully. Now, when we think about the Proverbs, we don't often think that there's a purpose behind it because the Proverbs are they're kind of jumbled together. You'll read a proverb, and then the next proverb seems to have nothing to do with what this proverb has to do. And then the third proverb has nothing to do with the two before it. And so we often look at Proverbs and we think it's very random. But we're going to see, even just now, we're going to see that Proverbs is not random. It's very purposeful. Look with me at verse 1. It says, "These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is just, to help them do what is right and just and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young." Verse 1 starts off with, "These are the proverbs." Now, proverbs are a unique type of literature. Proverbs are short, succinct statements that have an involuntary response on our part. When we hear a proverb, what it's saying is not completely obvious right away. And so we have to think a little bit about, what is it trying to say? And then once we realize what the proverb is saying, something happens. And we're like, bingo, I know that's true. That's what a proverb, that's what it is. It's a short, pithy saying that's kind of got in our minds, it kind of has a little song to it. And we get it in our head and we're like, what is that talking about? And then we're like, oh, it's talking about this. And then right when we figure that out, our brain instantly goes to the fact, oh, I know that's true because it's happened to me. And that's the nature of Proverbs. It's going to be very important as we talk. But that's what Proverbs do. They're kind of they kind of catch you, they get you, and then they cause a reaction. So these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Now, if you've read any further in the Proverbs, you know that not all of the Proverbs are actually written by Solomon. So it's like, why does he say it's Solomon? It's easy to understand. Solomon is like the headliner. Like if you go to a concert and you're going to see like Matt Redman, who's a pretty popular worship guy, and you go to his concert. Well, there's other artists that start off at the beginning, but they're like lower name artists. They still sing, but the main attraction is Matt Redman. And the same thing is true here. Solomon is the wisest, up to this point, is the wisest person who ever lived. God divinely gave him wisdom. So who else would you have to write a book about wisdom? Solomon. You would use Solomon's insights. And that's what's going on here. So not all of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs are written by Solomon. Most of them are. But he's the headliner. Solomon is the headliner. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Verse 2, their purpose. Okay? These Proverbs have a purpose. Proverbs provoke us purposefully. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. Wisdom is often defined as skilled living. It's just insightful living, knowing how to live. And discipline is corrective instruction. It's not corrective, and when we often think of discipline, we think of parents who discipline their children and give them some kind of a negative experience to teach them not to do things. And that's certainly an element here, but it's not designed to be painful. Correction here or in discipline here is the idea of, hey, you're walking on the left-hand side of the road. You shouldn't do that. Walk on the right-hand side of the road, or vice versa. It's discipline, but it's not discipline in terms of like something painful. It's just corrective instruction. And it says to help them too, so their purpose is continuing here at the end of verse 2, to help them understand the insights of the wise. There's a body of knowledge that the wise have. The Proverbs is there to help us understand that body of knowledge. Verse 3, their purpose, again, it's purposeful. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. Their purpose is to teach people to live a life that's productive, not successful in the terms of Bill Gates being a billionaire. It's successful in terms of being a life that's productive. And to help them do what is just, right, and just, and fair. To help them to do what is just and right and fair. The way that they interact with others, the way that they interact with God, and the way that they love and work with themselves, they're doing things that are right. Verse 4 says this, these proverbs will give insight to the simple. Now, simple here is not a negative term. It's just naive, people who are naive. People who are inexperienced. It's not trying to say that they're simple-minded. It's just they're people who haven't yet had experience. And the knowledge and discernment to the young, the children, the boys, the girls, the lads, the youth. Proverbs provoke us purposefully. Now, it does talk a little bit about why it's purposeful and how it's purposeful, but it doesn't really tell you exactly what the destination is, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. But right now, what I want you to see is that the Proverbs are purposeful. There's purpose to what the Proverbs is doing. Think about it this way. Let's say you went into your break room at work, and there was a new machine sitting on the counter. There's a new machine sitting on the counter, and you're going into the break room, and you see this machine sitting there, and you think, the placement of that machine, and as I look at this machine, it's not a pile of parts, it's actually assembled, it's all together, and I don't know what the machine does, but it seems, just the way that it's situated and how it looks, it seems purposeful. And that's essentially what we're seeing here about the Proverbs. The Proverbs are purposeful. We may not know yet, which we're going to see in a little bit, we may not know yet what the purpose is or what the end result is, but we know that there's purpose behind the Proverbs. So what I'm challenging you, what I want you to do this morning is I want you to think, whenever you think of the Proverbs, don't think that they're random, I want you to think that they're purposeful. Whenever you think of Proverbs, I want you to think Proverbs is purposeful. Got it? Proverbs is purposeful. Hold on a second, I'm getting a message. Okay, sure? Yeah, okay, good. That person sitting next to you, they're not convinced. I got it from my ear. They just told me that person sitting next to you is not convinced. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell the person sitting next to you, Proverbs is purposeful. But I want you to do it very convincingly because I've got it on good report that person is not convinced. So I need you to convince them with one word. See, tell them right now. Go ahead and tell them right now, Proverbs is purposeful. Okay. Good. All right, good. Proverbs is purposeful. Pastor Forrest, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to generate within you. If you get to the place where you understand that Proverbs is purposeful, that there's a purpose behind it, what the question that's going to be asked in your mind is, what's it for? Why did God give it to us? We're going to get to that. I'm just trying to raise your level of expectation. So Proverbs provokes us purposefully. So what are Proverbs designed to do? Verses 1 through 4 tell us that Proverbs provoke us purposefully. But then we're going to see in verses 5 and 6, Proverbs provokes us precisely. Look with me at verse 5. It says, let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning in these Proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Let the wise, those who are already wise in this phase of life, those who have reached the point where people look at them and say, that person is wise because they've demonstrated their wisdom and how they've acted or how they've thought. He says, let those people, the people that are wise, listen to these Proverbs. Original language is cause to hear. It's very passive. I don't want you to miss that. It's very passive. Let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. So, these wise people listen to the Proverbs, passive action, and they become wiser. Let those with understanding, people who have come to the place in their life where they've demonstrated that they are an understanding person by the way that they live, they are understanding, let them listen, implied from the first part of the verse, let them listen and receive guidance. People who have a general understanding about things, now they're going to listen and receive more guidance. Now, this is a great deal. I mean, this is a great deal because I wish I could do this at the gym. I wish I could go to the gym and listen to other people working out and I would get stronger. But that's what's being said here. And why is that? Let's keep reading. Verse 6. By exploring the meaning in these Proverbs and parables. Proverbs and parables are those short statements we've talked about. They're short statements, and once we think about what they mean, they instantly grab us and they cause us to say, yes, that's true. It's an involuntary It's an involuntary response. And what the Proverbs do is they cause an involuntary response in a certain direction, in a certain way. They guide us precisely. Last part of verse 6, the words of the wise and their riddles. As these wise people, as these understanding people listen to these Proverbs, they listen to the statements, they listen to the riddles, they listen to the Proverbs, they listen to the parables. As they listen to those, there's something mentally that happens in them. They're captivated by the story, and they're pushed to a precise location. That's what parables do. What Proverbs do as well. Think back with me to this machine that's sitting on the counter. And as we look at this machine, we see that there's a little LED panel, and there's vents on the side, and there's some spout, and there's some different pieces, but everything is constructed. It's put together really well, and it's plugged in. And as we look at this machine, we're like, there's got to be some kind of a product that this thing makes. It has to do something. It's designed to do something. They wouldn't have just put it here on the counter for no reason. There's precision to it. And that precision begs to indicate that because there is precision, there's something that machine does. And with Proverbs, it's a very similar concept. Because these Proverbs capture our minds and take us to a specific place, it indicates that there is something about these Proverbs. It's taking us somewhere. So these Proverbs provoke us precisely. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think. From now on, I want you to feel, when you think about the Proverbs, I want you to feel that the Proverbs are taking you to a specific place. If you go to the Proverbs, say you have a decision that you're trying to make and you're not sure what to do, and you go to the Proverbs and you ask the Proverbs, you look through the Proverbs and you find a proverb that applies to your life and you apply it to your life, here's what I want you to understand. The Proverbs is going to answer your question, but the proverb is also moving you somewhere. The proverb is grabbing you by the hand and saying, okay, this is what you need to do in this situation, but I'm also taking you somewhere. The Proverbs provoke us purposefully, and the Proverbs provoke us precisely. And the question that is on all of our minds is, where are the Proverbs taking us? And then we get that answer in verse 7. Verse 7 says this, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Proverbs provoke us into an intimate relationship with God. That's what Proverbs are designed to do. First part of the verse, fear of the Lord. This term is all throughout the Bible. It's all throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and all throughout the Bible. Fear of the Lord. And it's a concept that's hard for us to wrap our minds around because it's almost contrary in every single way. This one I made up, but I think it will help. Fear of the Lord is closeness to God, but it's also distance from who he really is. Fear of the Lord is that place where we are so close to God, we feel the fear of God, but we're close enough to realize that who he is and who we are is completely different. That's the dynamic of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is when you're in a position with God where you are close enough to realize that he is God and you are human. And because of that, you should respond a certain way. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the place where Proverbs is taking you. It's Proverbs is taking us to a place where we are in the fear of the Lord. We are in an intimate relationship with God, knowing truly who he is and knowing truly who we are but we're close enough to him to be able to see that and to feel it. Fear of the Lord is the foundation. It's the primary thing. It's the starting place. It's the most important aspect of true knowledge. So what the Proverbs is doing is it's taking us down a path where it's showing us that if you want to be wise, this is what you need to do. And when you do that, you realize that in order to be wise, you have to ultimately be in a right relationship with God. That's the place that Proverbs is taking us. Proverbs is purposeful. Proverbs is precise. But Proverbs is challenging us into an intimate relationship with God. And flip to the last part of that verse. The proverb goes the opposite. Say, let me show you how this is true. Fools, they despise wisdom and discipline. Fools, people who in their very nature despise God, despise anything about God, who want to be as far away from God as possible, they despise wisdom and discipline. People who want to be in a right relationship with God embrace wisdom and discipline, and it takes them to him. I've posed this question, what are Proverbs designed to do? And Proverbs are designed to provoke us purposefully. Proverbs are designed to provoke us precisely. And the Proverbs are designed to provoke us into an intimate relationship with God. And so my challenge for you this week is I want to challenge you over this next week to read a proverb a day. Every day, just read a proverb. And it's kind of weird because it's like there's not much to that. Just read a proverb. Yes, read a proverb, because I believe what this is saying is actually true. I believe that if you just read the proverb is going to take you to a place where you are in intimacy with God. That's the design. That's what proverbs are designed to do. So that's my challenge for you this week, is just to read a proverb a day. Because I'm convinced that that is really, truly what God wants to do. That's his heart. That is what his heart beats for, is that people would be in intimate relationship with him. Derek Kidner wrote in his commentary on the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to let you put that slide up so I can read it, because I didn't bring it up with me. Oh, boy. So a sense of purpose and calling lifts the teaching of Proverbs above the pursuit of success or tranquility. So, a sense of purpose and calling lifts the teaching of Proverbs above the pursuit of success or tranquility. Because a lot of times people think that's what Proverbs is all about. It's all about being successful. It's all about being tranquil, right? It lifts it above that. It's clear of the confines of a class ethic or a dry moralism. Proverbs is not about trying to get us to be good. Into the realm of knowing the living God in all one's ways. That's the purpose of Proverbs. Proverbs is designed to provoke us into an intimate relationship with God. And God's okay with that. He's totally okay with that. He's totally okay with using a book like the book of Proverbs. And he's totally okay with using our bad and foolish decisions to bring us to the place where we realize we need to be in an intimate relationship with God. He's totally okay with doing that. One of our own has written a poem, and I want to read it, because what it does is it kind of moves you to a place, and it sees someone who's done the exact opposite of following the Proverbs. But this person has done the exact opposite, but yet the result is the same. And it demonstrates that's what God is about. After years of thinking of no one but himself, indulging his every desire, he ended up in solitary confinement. Gone was the wife he cheated on. Gone were the son and daughter he ignored, neglected. Gone even were his friends, the buddies he partied with. the ones he drank, did drugs with, before they turned to stealing and murder. After being locked in, he also realized he was locked out of so much more. Locked out of helping his elderly mother who had tried to raise him right. Locked out of a loving relationship with a wife who kept forgiving him. Locked out of his children's lives, not able to be there on special days like birthdays or Christmas, or to attend ball games, recitals, school events. Now locked alone in his small cell, he had time to think about his life, his actions, felt remorse for the first time. Finally, in despair, he got down on his knees, asked God to show him the key to unlock, break free from his hideous past. God is all about getting every single person on this planet into an intimate relationship with himself. He will use the book of Proverbs. He will use a jail cell. That is his objective. This morning, God is pursuing every single one of you. He is. He's pursuing you. And the question that I want to pose to you this morning is this, is that how are you responding to that? Are you running? Are you, he's pursuing you and you're running? Or are you over here with your fingers in your ears? I don't hear you. I'm not listening. Blah, 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 blah. What are you doing? Or are you turning and embracing him back and saying, okay, I know you're pursuing me and now I'm pursuing you? This morning, I want you to answer that question. I really do. I want you to, each of you, to answer that question. And I'm going to pose it in a couple of different ways this morning. But I really want you to think about, as we sing this first verse, I just want you to think about, how are you responding to the God who's pursuing you right now this morning? How are you responding?
Let's sing this. Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. Bear a precious
Father, we do just thank you for this opportunity to come together as a group of believers. Lord, we thank you for this moment where we can have to reflect upon what you've been doing in our lives, in this moment where we have to reflect upon what you are doing in our lives. Lord, I pray that as we continue to sing the rest of this hymn, that you would give people who are in the sanctuary this morning and in need very much of having someone pray for them, that you would give them the courage to come forward. Come into these pews here at the front and allow someone to pray for them. Whether it's they've been running away from you in a very rebellious way, or they've been ignoring you, or whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would give them courage even now. We love you and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. We're going to sing a couple more stanzas. We're going to sing a couple more verses and things. And I do want to invite you. I'm dead serious. I'm inviting you. If you've been running, if you've been ignoring, if you've been trying to shut out from your ears God pursuing you, I'm just going to invite you to come forward this morning. In the pews right here. I'll pray for you. We'll have one of the elders pray for you. Somebody can pray for you. I know it's going to be weird because it's like, everybody's going to see me. Yeah, I know. It's all right. Funny thing is, most of them have probably been in that same place at some point in their life as well. Go ahead, Sam.
Hear the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around.
Let's all stand together and sing, "Near the cross, O Lamb of God."
Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its sins before me. Help me walk from day to day.
Come to you this morning, people who are trembling, but in the cross, Father, your love and your mercy has found us. Lord, I just think about the old hymn that says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross we cling." Lord, we cling to it together from all different peoples, every tribe, every nation and tongue, Father. Young and old this morning, rich and poor, Lord, bring us together at the foot of the cross. Let's sing this last verse. "Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever."
Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river.
Just help us in humility to walk every day with these guideposts of these Proverbs and your word, your Torah, your instruction, Father. I pray that we would cling to Jesus, the fulfillment. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to close with the doxology.
Forrest, you said you were going to sing as well. All right, here we go. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Amen. Praise Him.
Next week.